session is a 6 to 8 week session that started. We're in our third week of the spring session, so the summer sessions will start the first week of June, so still plenty of time to sign up for those. And locally here in Charleston, our programming is at Coonskin Park.
Up that's
at
the where you're, that's where your office is now, out there at Coonskin.
We are now at Coonskin Park.
Pretty convenient out there, right?
Yes.
You're out there by the driving range.
Right next to the driving range.
It's also
range.
Close to the nine-hole golf course out there, right?
Yep,
close.
Yep, the nine-hole course will be very fun and awesome to play when it opens here, hopefully at around Memorial Day.
Very good. We're talking with Chris Slack. Chris is the executive director of the West Virginia Golf Association. If you're just tuning in, WVGA.org, 304-391-5000 is the telephone number to get a hold of them. It is golf season. Lots of tournaments coming up. They run the pros, they run the amateurs, they run the junior golf. The first tee, junior golf, is that middle school, high school? What do you consider junior golf?
So junior golf, we have our Callaway Junior Tour, and that runs, you cannot be 19, so 18-year-olds down to about 10 or 11-year-olds, okay, is when people start, because we are playing 18 holes of competitive golf. And then 3 years ago, we started what we call our Callaway Junior Tour Rookie League. And that is for any age, but it's more what we typically see, more of your 6, 7, 8 year olds. It's just nine holes at a very short yardage. We lump mom or dad caddy for them and the rookie league as well to kind of help them get them going and learn the ropes a little bit.
You have a passion for golf that probably started when you were pretty young. What's your journey in your golf world?
So I grew up in Winfield locally, and
home of the Generals.
That's right, town of champions. We used to have a nine-hole golf course right outside of town, Deer Run.
Is this still around? I think it's gone, right?
Yeah, it changed
names. I remember
names.
Deer Run.
Yeah, it changed names to Meadowland. And,
yeah.
But, yeah, so I started playing there. Got my first job as a cart boy at Scarlet Oaks.
Did someone inspire you, a father, uncle, mom? Or you just said, I'm going to go play this game?
Not really. It was probably my brother and his buddies started playing. And I did have some family members, an uncle of mine who played. And I don't know. I just got to liking it. And really, when I started working at Scarlet Oaks is when it kind of...
Yeah, and that... Thank God it's Scarlet Oaks is gone now.
Yep, unfortunately.
So hope you don't play all the courses in West Virginia. They'll be gone soon, Chris. I'm kidding you. We are talking with Chris Slack, our director with West Virginia Golf Association, and he's had a nice run. He's kind of new in that position, but he's been with the association for about 12 years now. You and I first met, Chris, when I'm wearing the hat today, the Greenbrier Classic. When the Greenbrier Classic came to town in 2010, I call it town, came to West Virginia. Mm-hmm. It was a PGA Ben, it was a pretty big deal, and the Golf Association had a little hand in that, and I think you helped organize some of the standard bearers and some of the volunteers, and we met down there in 2010 or 11, and I was honored to be a standard bearer for many years. How cool was that, and are you guys going to get involved? We don't have the Greenbrier Classic, but we have something coming. Is it the LIV tournament? The LIV Greenbrier.
Mm-hmm.
You guys aren't going to have a hand in that yet, or do you know what's going on with that?
I don't know yet.
Okay.
They have not reached out.
Okay.
You know, we were heavily involved with the Classic, organizing volunteers, overseeing volunteer committees. But you know, I think just like the Greenbrier Classic, when it came in 2010, mm-hmm. it was the hottest ticket in town.
It was our
only really professional of the big, you know, five or six sports that we had in the state. So I foresee LIV, you know, when they come the first week of August, that there will be that same level of excitement in the air.
I think it will be, too. I've signed up to the volunteer already. I hope I can be a standard bearer, but I'll do whatever they need me to be. Mm-hmm. What did you gain working with a PGA tournament itself? I mean, it was high-level production, operation, golf, the product, just the whole atmosphere, and just the way they ran the show. We learned a lot. I was right there on the inside with you.
You
were way on the inside.
Yeah, I mean, you remember being down in our tent beneath the first tee, and the level of organization. I mean, that PGA Tour is a traveling circus, basically, and the level of organization was unbelievable, and I thought.
I always am honored to talk about the Greenbrier Classic. I can't believe now. It's been 9 years ago, 2014. I was named that volunteer of the year. Out of, we had about 2,000 volunteers there at one time. So I appreciate you bringing me along as a standard bearer, and that Greenbrier Classic was a great memory and a great experience for me. You guys, the West Virginia Golf Association, you've done it for years now. Do we still call it the VIP card? Talk about the VIP card.
Yep. So our VIP card is very popular. Continues to be very popular. You know, it's our golf discount card. Gives you access to a handful of private clubs in the state. You know, lower rates at 65, 66 golf courses.
So you buy the, you purchase the VIP card from you guys.
Yes.
And you get a pretty hefty discount, or a discount. I don't know how hefty it is. Just different specials for courses around the state. Is that just
that's correct?
How it works?
Yep, yep.
So you just carry the card in
your wallet or whatever, okay. Golf bag. Yep, yeah, it's very small. But yeah, it's very popular. And again, we have, you know, almost 70 golf courses participating on the card.
We're going to get to our Western golf courses in just a moment. This VIP card used to kind of help support various charities. Is it still yet, or is it supporting the First Tee and supporting the Golf Association?
Yeah, yeah. So we, as the Golf Association, First Tee, are a 501c3. Mm-hmm. We rely, you know, we're a nonprofit. We rely on donations. And this VIP card, you know, is a big moneymaker for us, and you know, it helps us, you know, pay the bills at the end of the day.
Speaking of funding, this VIP card, but then you become a member of the West Virginia Golf Association. Does that make you a member of the National PGA Association? How does that work?
Yeah, so buying the VIP card, you are a member of the West Virginia Golf Association, which includes an active USGA GEN number, so you can post your scores, keep your handicap index, obviously the VIP card, and the ability to play in our golf tournaments.
Very good. You're a pretty good golfer. We were talking. Your handicap's about 4 or 5.
About 4 or 5.
That's pretty strong. What's your best club in the bag?
I don't know. What probably do my with? Driver.
Yeah, can you hit
it pretty straight?
Hit it straight, 300 yards.
Yeah, I don't know about all that, but yeah.
There's some. Let's talk about West Virginia golf. You know, I played. I'm not a player, but you know, I play.
Yep.
I play in charity scrambles. I love to be a 4-person part of the team. I'm a good putter. So that's pretty good. I can bring that to the 4-person scramble. Yep. And I like to support nonprofits, as many folks know, and charities. But I've been afforded the opportunity to play at the Raven and the Greenbrier and Stonehaven. Quite frankly, my favorite golf course in the state of West Virginia is Stonewall. I love it. I don't know why I love it. I think you just escape the rest of reality because it's a kind of a links course. You go all the way out, and hole number 9 is so far away from the rest of the world. You're out there in the wilderness, in the woods, and it's just quiet, and it's just you and your boys playing.
Yep.
So let's talk about how cool golf is and some of our courses and what you hear when people come from out of state. They come from, you know, the Midwest. They come where it's flat. They come from Florida where it's hot all the time. They come to West Virginia to play golf, and it's just pops with vegetation. Every golf course in West Virginia is just full of character. Am I nailing it?
100%. Yeah. So we have, you know, just a couple of stories real quick. You know, last year we conduct USGA qualifiers too, and we had one at the Raven at Snowshoe in September. And once people actually got there, which is a journey,
they had to get there, right?
But they loved it. Yeah. But then at the same time, just Monday, we had a U.S. Open local qualifier at Parkersburg Country Club, and people from out of state were amazed at how flat it was. They never dreamed coming to West Virginia there would be a flat golf course in such good condition in April, and so it's all over the place.
Kind of the same thing. I didn't mention Canaan Valley. Played that numerous times.
Yeah.
It's in a mountain.
Love Canaan Valley.
It's, you know, it's a golf ski resort, and then you go to Canaan Valley Golf Course. It's wide open, just full of green. But it's wide open and relatively. There's some ups and downs, but it's a flat open course. I score better at Canaan than I score anywhere in the whole state.
Yep.
Of
Yep, Canaan's a very popular
because I spray the ball around. And you don't lose.
That's why people love it.
I'm right on that.
That's why people love it. Yep,
I love it. We're having a really great golf conversation with Chris Slack. Chris is our new executive director with the West Virginia Golf Association. You can reach out to them at 304-391-5000. You can also go to their website, wbga.org. Do you have any sponsors you'd like to thank? Some people that help you come along and help support this in a nice way that you want to give them a little shout out?
100%. Got to start with our probably our longest one, Little General Stores. I think everyone knows that name. They support our Senior Series Juniors. Astorg Auto out of Parkersburg and Charleston is the title sponsor for our men's amateur.
I bet they had a big roll up at the Parkersburg last week, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
United Bank is on as the state AM. And then here recently, local company SciMed out of Charleston is now our title sponsor of our
is women's. Is Terry still working with
Terry them? Terry runs it. Yep. Yeah. So Terry has sponsored. He's going to be our title sponsor of the 100th women's amateur in July.
Where's that going to be held?
Edgewood Country Club.
You said Edgewood already. Yep. With Craig out there. That's right.
Yep. We have some very Tri-State Roofing and Sheet Metal has been with us for a very long time on the junior side.
Nice.
So we have some very, very generous, you know, friends of ours.
Very good. Chris Slack, our director with the West Virginia Golf Association. We have about 2 minutes left, Chris, in our segment. Who runs or do we even have a West Virginia Golf Hall of Fame?
So we do have a West Virginia Golf Hall of Fame. That is ran by us. We have a Golf Hall of Fame committee.
Okay.
We have not had a class since 2021, I believe.
Okay.
That started in 2009. Bill Campbell and Sam Snead were our first induction.
Wonderful.
How
many amateurs did Bill Campbell win? 30? 20? 20 at least.
Yeah, I don't know the number offhand.
He's from the 40s and 50s, right?
A little later than that.
50s and 60s?
Yeah, the 70s even. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I know he won a bunch. If you look at the list of state amateur winners, I think it's around 20.
Yeah, he won the USAM in 1964.
Man, so he's a good one. So, do we have a physical place for the Hall of Fame, or is it just the
unfortunately
in the cloud?
We don't. It's on our website, but now that we have our own building and hopefully that's something in the near future that we can add an addition on.
Is that something you think under your tenure you hope to get accomplished?
100%.
Yeah, that's in the works.
Yeah. And we will have another class this year, this fall.
Do you have a board of directors? Is there a board of directors?
Yeah, we have an executive committee of 11 members that are statewide, members of different clubs.
So clubs throughout the state of West Virginia, mm-hmm. right? I love it, man. I've learned a little bit. I hope you have as well. That's our first segment with My Town, Your Town, Chris Slack, our executive director with the West Virginia Golf Association. Chris, I'm glad you came in, my friend.
Thanks so much, Jim.
Good luck to you.
I appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you.
There he is, Chris Slack, our director with the West Virginia Golf Association. 304-391-5000 is the telephone number. The website is WVGA. They have lots of tournaments coming up. They could use volunteers. Give them a call. Shout out. Ask them any questions. And we will be right back with another segment. Our second segment, we'll be talking with my good friend Evan about the capital market on My Town, Your Town, and I will be right back.
My friend and I are taking a trip to Mexico this year, but neither of us speak Spanish. So we downloaded Babbel and started learning Spanish fast.
Want to start getting conversational in another language in as little as 3 weeks? Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons were designed by language experts to be the most efficient and effective way to learn a new language.
¿Cómo te llamas?
¿Cómo te llamas?
Babbel, language for life. Celebrating 10 million subscriptions sold. Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com.
It's easier than you think for pests to threaten your family's health. Ticks, which spread dangerous diseases, hide in tall grasses and even on your pets. Rodents easily invade your home, contaminate food, and can carry more than 35 diseases. Mosquitoes, which breed in standing water, transmit many diseases. Get the facts you need to protect your family at pestworld.org. It's that easy. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association.
Welcome back to My Town, Your Town on News Talk 102.3 and AM 1410.
And we do welcome you back. Just like that, I am back. I am Jim Strawn, and I am your host of My Town, Your Town. Great conversation with our first guest, Chris Slack from the Golf Association, now as promised at the top of the show. Another good person doing good work and representing a good organization, doing positive work to move our state, our Kanawha Valley, and our city of Charleston, and all points in between forward in a positive way. My good friend, I've known for a few years now, Evan Osborne. Evan, welcome to the program.
Jim, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
I love you. You know that. You are the director of the capital market. It seems like it's a great role for you. Seems like it's been a good fit. How long have you been there now, Evan?
Gosh.
A year yet?
Well,
you were there before you were the director. Right. Talk about the capital market journey that you've had.
So, believe it or not, my first day was when the governor's COVID lockdown went into effect. So it made
first day made for
Woo-hoo! One of the strangest first days of any job.
Now what do I do?
You could ever have.
Now what do I do? I don't think I knew that.
No, but fortunately, since that time, we've adapted, embraced, evolved, and continued to move our mission forward.
How long have you been the director of the director?
Gosh, a little over a year now.
A little over a year.
Yeah.
I think you like it, right? Am I right or wrong on that?
Each day's a privilege.
Yeah, you seem to have found your niche. You're kind of perfect for the role. Folks are listening to this, My Town, Your Town. They may have heard of the capital market, or if they're living under a rock, they may not have. But it's one of Charleston's favorite destinations. How do you describe what the capital market is, or describe what the mission in the capital market actually is, Evan?
So our mission's threefold. We're, you know, we were established to support West Virginia farmers and producers, lift up local small businesses, and really kind of be a hub, a gathering space for our community, a place that you can meet a friend for coffee, or, you know, it's not uncommon we'll see folks having a job interview out on our front porch. But the great thing that really sort of drives our mission is the seasonality of what we do. We evolve throughout the year, and so we kick off our year right around now, generally coming into Mother's Day with our spring flower season. And then
Mother's Day weekend is just funly insane. I don't want to say it's insane to keep you away. I want to say it's funly insane.
You got to experience
it. Yeah, it is an experience, because there's just the blooms are everywhere. People are scurrying around getting stuff for their mom. I do it every year myself. I do it literally every year. But then there's just the awe. If you like Cypress Gardens in Florida, you'll love the Capital Market on Mother's Day weekend. Is that a good fair assumption?
Yeah, and I think Mother's Day weekend makes it probably more apparent than ever how much West Virginians love their mothers. I mean, it is
the birthplace of Mother's Day, right?
Yeah.
Wrapped in West Virginia.
Yep. We don't take it for granted.
No, we do not. Evan Osborne is our director of the Capital Market. So we've been at that facility, just so you know. You know a little bit about the history
of
the building?
Yeah, I mean,
it was a train at one time years ago.
Kind of a cool story.
Yeah,
so the building itself was constructed just around the turn of the century, 1897, as part of the Kanawha Michigan Rail Line. And it's evolved and adapted over the years. I keep using that word evolve because it has had many, many different functions. I believe at one time it was the recycling center.
And I was going to wait for you to get to that, because in the 80s, I worked at a local mental health, mental retardation center, our good friends at the Shawnee Hills, and I ran a program really close to where we're producing the show today in Nitro, the old West Addis Elementary School on Main Street in Nitro, West Virginia. And I had about 100 mentally challenged clients. They were adults. We had a vocational program, and we would smash aluminum cans, and we would collect those things. And about once a week, we'd do a field trip up to the recycling center where now the Capital Market stands. And we'd go in there, and I'd take our clients in, and we would weigh it, and they would exchange the weight with what we had in aluminum, and they would give us money. And the clients were like, "Oh my gosh, we just made some money for our work!" Right? Yep. So we went there every week, and you know, I remember seeing bins of brown glass, bins of clear glass, bins of aluminum, bins of paper. It was the recycling center, and that was in the 80s. So the Capital Market as we know it today came along when?
1997.
And so we're over 20 years now.
We celebrated last October. We celebrated our 25th anniversary.
I remember.
Yep.
I remember. for now. I forgot that until just now.
You know, it's one of those places that you kind of take for granted that it's always been there, because it was such a neat idea at the inception that it sort of did a really good job of immediately ingraining itself within the community. And it if you're like me, where you were born in Charleston and you moved away and you came back, you kind of always took for granted that it had been there since the beginning. And we're a relatively young organization in terms of what,
of all the things it's been. I think it's found its niche being an indoor outdoor farmers / market. Mm-hmm. Talk about physically where you are in case people don't actually know.
So we are at the very end of Smith Street. If you're coming down Capitol Street,
end of Capitol on Smith.
Correct.
We're right on the corner. By the tracks.
Yep. You got it. So if you're coming down Capitol, just keep going and you'll run right into it.
And it kind of runs parallel. You know, if you look up, you can see that's I-64, right?
That's correct.
So you get off that exit. If you're on the interstate, get off the Capitol Street exit, yep. I believe.
Just wrap around.
Bend around there. And it's on Smith Street. And it's one of those buildings. It looks like a train hub because it's long and narrow. Let's talk about, you talked a little bit about outdoors, and you have about really 10 or 11 really good seasons outdoors or months.
Uh-huh.
And there might be a January that's like, what's going on? But you basically have something outdoors for 11 months, whether it's pumpkins in the fall, mums in the fall, we're coming into the flower season, you have the Christmas trees in December. So let's talk about what happens indoor. Who are some of your staples? Who are some of the anchors or stores indoors that are 12 months, 365, not 365, but they're open every day, just about.
So we're blessed with nine indoor tenants, and that's anchored with Soho's, our full-service sit-down restaurant at the east end of the market. And working our way down, we've got the West Virginia Marketplace, which is a celebration of all things.
Anything that you need from West Virginia, we have it right there. They call it the West Virginia Market.
And then we've got Christine and her crew at Johnny's Meat
Market. Yeah, Johnny's used to be way over there on the it was hard to describe whether it was the west side or the North Charleston, but back there in the corner by Charleston Cut Flower, and it moved up to the market years and years ago. Johnny's has been around. I think Kristen just celebrated that business. Was it 50 years? 50 years last year, but they've been at the market now. I'm just going to guess 10-ish. Yep. I don't know. 15-ish.
Almost since
Johnny's Meat Market is there. What else we have?
So we've got our coffee shop, Mia Cuppa.
You may have seen me there a few times having coffee. You mentioned people just stopping by and having coffee. I'm one of the ones that Evan sees having coffee. A lot of business meetings there. Yep. That's kind of my office, I think.
Yep.
And you see that a lot, right? You said that earlier.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's what happens.
I love to see it. I mean,
so we have Mia Cuppa there for our coffee. I think Hall's is right across the street.
Hall's Chocolate out of Vienna, West Virginia. Yeah,
that's our second Parkersburg reference on My Town, Your Town today. We talked to Chris earlier about the golf that they had out there at the Parkersburg Golf Club, the country club out there. But Hall's is a Parkersburg and West Virginia staple. So they're at the Capitol Market. Hall's Chocolate, wonderful, delicious Swiss
chocolate. Do you have a favorite chocolate?
Just the milk chocolate. The milk chocolate. Okay. Just the plain milk chocolate. Just not dark. Just the milk.
I'm gonna get a plug in for the Smooth Ambler Bourbon Caramel.
Oh yeah, pretty nice. Yeah.
You can't beat it.
Get it in. No, sounds good. Yeah, I like it. We have there's still a fish place there, right?
Yep. We got fresh seafood, and then just beyond that, we have the wine shop at Capitol Market.
They have some great cheese. Ted, give Ted's last name.
Ted Armbrecht.
Yep. So it's the and there's delicious cheese there as well. Yeah.
And you know, a lot of people don't know this, but we talk about how the market was sort of born out of other things. And believe it or not, Ted's family business actually started as the wine. If you'll think way back to the Stone and Thomas days.
Wow, yeah, that's way back.
Their business actually started at Stone and Thomas.
Get out of here! Mm-hmm. That's news to me. And Ted keeping the family business going.
Yep.
Right there in the Capitol Market. Wine and cheese, Capitol Market. Right beside them, I've seen some people rolling some sushi, I believe.
We got Sushi Garden.
Sushi Garden.
Kathy and Mike. They're two of my favorite
individuals. I just walk by and I know what's going on. I just don't know the name of the businesses.
Yep.
Sushi Garden.
And then from there, there's Alan holding down the fort, Purple Onion, down at
That's
the very
That's been
end.
There, I think, since the inception.
Uh-huh.
I
do. In one it. Iteration or another, yeah.
I mean, that. If you need anything that you need when it comes to produce is right there.
So I'm going to get a plug in for them. Fresh. He just launched a fried green tomato sandwich. So I've come to develop my favorites for all the things within the market.
I bet that arrival, the Greenbrier classic fried green tomato sandwich in the master.
I'd hold it up against.
Yeah, for it'll sure. be good. So, yeah, we got 9 stores inside the Capital Market. We are talking with Evan Osborne. He is our director with the Capital Market. And it was, when I say it, this is official. It was voted. What's the actual thing? It was voted as one of the Charleston's favorite destinations to go to. Is that how you say that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, last year, hopefully again this year, mm-hmm. we were voted Charleston's top attraction.
Top attractions, what I was trying to get at. Top attractions. And it is a wonderful destination. If you've not been to the Capital Market, find them on the web. I don't have the exact website.
CapitalMarket.net. Capital with an O.
Capital with an O, market.net, capitalmarket.net. Find them, check it out, stop down there. Do you have certain hours? I said 365 earlier, but it's not quite 365.
Close major holidays.
Okay, so you're open a lot, though. Mm-hmm. So what's the hours for the indoor stores?
10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Okay. Soho's is open from 9 to 10, just depending on the day of the week. And then on Sundays, we're open noon to 5.
You talked about one of the trifolds mission of the market is to be a community hub. Mm-hmm. With that being said, Evan, you guys are hosting, being quite a few community events, whether it's a fundraiser for you, a fundraiser for another charity organization. You collaborate this Saturday. I'm just going to mention it, but you already can't get tickets because it's already sold out. Flowers After Hours in its second year, right?
Second year.
So what's going to happen? If you're fortunate enough to have a ticket, what's going to happen at Flowers After Hours?
So when we were thinking about what we could do to help support our operations at the market, we're a slim staff. We only have three staff members mm-hmm. to basically run.
But you work as many as 7, by the way.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
You
pretend to be. Anyway.
I like to think I do. But, we wanted to come up with an event that would really celebrate what's going on seasonally at the market, and we thought that what a great opportunity to let folks come have a great time, set amongst all the flowers in the outdoor market. We've got a fantastic lineup for the evening. You may have heard of that guy, Paul Smith.
I've heard of Paul Smith. Hey, Chef Paul Smith, one of the most brilliant chefs in the United States of America. What's he in the finals for? What, it's like an Oscar for, what's the, is it
he's,
the James
he's
Beard?
He's a finalist for the James Beard Award.
Which is a big, big deal. If you don't know this, folks, our very own Chef Paul, right here locally from Charleston, West Virginia, does all these culinary things for us, has been nominated. And it's like being nominated for an Oscar. There's 5 chefs in America that are up for the James Beard.
I like to think it's even more impressive. You think about how many restaurants there are in the United States.
Think about that.
And there's considerably more restaurants than sports franchises. So to make it
to the top
where he has.
That's just, so yeah, just, Chef Paul is part of it, the Flowers After Hours. He's a part of a lot of things that we do. And I have on the list here Linskit Cooking. Uh-huh. That's a series that he does at the Capital Market. Does it with our boy DJ EJ, and it's sponsored by AARP, and you just come and sit down, and it's like you're in Chef Paul's kitchen, and he just shows you how to cook a dish, and it's right there, and he's just talking, and it's just like, wow, this is so locally fun and brilliantly done. So, yeah, so Flowers After Hours continue. So he'll be there.
Yeah, he and his crew from 1010 Bridge are coming down to help us with some of the food. We've got Hot Jazz of Charleston, sweet. Which if you have not had the opportunity to see those guys, they're a whole lot of fun.
So they'll be right there in the middle of the market, outdoors.
Yep.
Yeah, they'll put a stage up.
We've got a few other surprises in the store. I don't
literally
give too much away. But.
Flowers after flowers after flowers. Flowers after hours. Yep. You did it last year for the first time, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
So popular, obviously. Back again, sold out. How do you consider it sold out? You just don't want to have too many people there so you can't walk around?
Well, that and we're limited just in terms of our catering capacity.
Catering and the food, yeah. That, very good. Some of the other events that you have throughout the year, every year you have your big fundraiser mm-hmm. for the Capital Market. And I want to get this in. The Capital Market is a bona fide 501c3 not-for-profit
correct.
Organization.
Yep.
You're a charity, basically.
Exactly.
So you have the big fundraiser for you, usually the second or first Wednesday in October. We just call it the mixer, the Capital Market mixer. Uh-huh. That one as well is typically sold out, and that sold out is hundreds and hundreds of people.
Yeah, so it's about twice the size.
It's a pretty big deal, right?
Yep.
We all love the mixer. You also, last year, the city announced, and it was very popular, and it'll be back again this year, We just had a press conference this week announcing the Stern Wheel Regatta lineup. The capital market gets pretty involved with the mm-hmm. regatta. You did something really cool last year. I know you're bringing them both back this year. But the thing that you did, you got the kids involved, and Chef Paul was involved with that as well. I think it's called All Fired Up.
All Fired Up.
Talk kids about barbecue the date challenge. And how that's going to. What's it called?
All Fired Up Kids Barbecue Challenge.
The Kids Barbecue Challenge. Talk about that concept and how that worked last year, and what you hope to have happen again this year.
So it's an opportunity for kids, really ages anywhere from 12 to 16, to come and show off their culinary chops. And think of it as supermarket sweep. We give each kid a $100 market gift card and 1 hour to shop for their ultimate backyard cookout at the market. And then they come back. We have a grill for each one, a full little kitchen setup.
About how many teams or stations?
So we're limited by the number of grills
like
that we
six?
Have. So we're going to have eight this year.
Eight.
And they have 2 hours to come up with their ultimate backyard cookout. And the whole time, Chef Paul is mentoring them, giving them
consulting,
tips.
Here's what you do. Yeah. It's a good idea.
Yeah. Here, so it's an awesome experience for those kids. Really, last year, it was so rewarding to see, you know, we tried to make these guys feel like big shots.
And they were. And they all got something. They all get a participation award. And then we actually have judges, and they eat it, and they go, okay, the winner
is. We have a panel of local culinary experts, everyone from Venu at Mia Cuppa.
Stephen probably is involved.
Stephen Keith. He is our newly elected board president.
Oh, nice.
Actually.
I was going to ask you about the board. That'll be my final question, but All Fired Up, the date is July
2nd.
July 2nd.
So we moved it to a Sunday this
Sunday
year.
It's
going to run from 1 to 4 p.m.
July the 2nd. Get your kids involved with that.
And it's a great spectator event.
Yeah. I was there last year.
We were kind of curious as to how much there was going to be. These guys kill it. Yeah. It is so much fun to see that, you know, when I was that age, I was struggling to microwave, Hot Pocket.
I might have been able to put some toast in the toaster, maybe. My mom would make me some coffee, and I'd had toast and coffee at age 9 and 10, but that was about my culinary experience.
And they're so young. To see what they're going to do if they decide to make that a career, which is, you know, what we want to see. We're teaching them how, hopefully, to embrace shopping not only locally but seasonally. So, you know, we time it when the tomatoes in the outdoor market are at their peak. All of our herbs are bloomed out, ready to go.
Perfect.
It's just a great time.
It is a good time. All Fired Up for the kids. Evan, I think we could talk a little bit longer, but unfortunately, our time is up. We got about 20 seconds. Wrap it up with you have a board of directors, and what do they mean to you at the Capital Market?
So as I mentioned, the Capital Market is a 501c3. We are governed by a volunteer board of directors that really give their time, money, talent, expertise to help make the market what it is. And so we're so grateful to have this group of individuals that not only see the value in what we do, but helping to grow us throughout not only the community of Charleston, but throughout the state of West Virginia.
And as you mentioned, Stephen Keith, the new board president, great job for the food guy. Evan, great job that you're doing. I appreciate you stopping by my town, your town. Keep up the great, great work at the Capital Market, capitalmarket.net. That's capital with an O, market.net. We'll see you at the market. And we'll see you on the other side of this break. And we'll be talking with Adam from the Alban Arts Center. We got one more segment to go. My town, your town. And I will be right back.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS that you can't pay? Call now for immediate help. At the Tax Relief Line, we help people just like you. If you take on the IRS alone, you could be facing levies, liens, even wage garnishments, personal or business tax issues. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS, call now and see if you can pay less. They can freeze your bank accounts, even garnish your wages. Call the Tax Relief Line now for immediate help. Our expert team of tax professionals will negotiate your tax problem and deal with the IRS for you. If the IRS is threatening you with levies, wage garnishments, or seizing your assets, call now and see if you can pay the IRS less.
866-657-8521. 866-657-8521. That's 866-657-8521.
Our house is a very, very, very fine house. Welcome back to My Town, Your Town on News Talk 1023 and AM 1410.
And we do welcome you back in My Town, Your Town. This is segment number three. Great conversation. The hour is slipping by quite quickly. We had a great conversation with Chris Slack, West Virginia Golf Association, followed by Evan Osborne with the Capital Market. And now, as promised at the top of My Town, Your Town, I welcome into the program a good friend of mine. You're a good friend as well. Well, we hope you're a good friend. Of Adam Bryan. Adam, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, Jim. How about you?
Doing great. You're the director of, I have to get it right, the Alban Arts Center. It's not the Alban Theater. There's a theater there.
Well, it's both. I mean, okay. The Alban Theater was the original. That's the building that was there from 1938
on. I had that first, and then I realized it's the Alban Arts Center.
The Alban Arts Center is the business that we run there now, yes.
And you've been in charge of that business now. I keep asking you this, and I'm always awed by it's been a few years now.
Since 2009. It'll be 14 years this year.
Wrap my arms around that.
You and me both.
Because I remember I remember introducing you to the audience.
Yeah.
On the TV show highlights that we still have. 09?
09. Yep. September of 09 is when
I
started.
Talk about the evolution from 09 to what you're doing now. Give me a quick synopsis of the last decade.
It was night and day. When I first got there, we weren't doing much of anything other than showing some free films to the community. That was about all we were doing. Now, we produce 6 to 7 theater productions a year. We have Alban Arts Academy where we offer classes in the performing arts to, at this point, we've offered classes to thousands of students, but, you know, probably over 100 each semester, roughly. Mm-hmm. We also do concerts and music venue stuff and a little bit of everything. The whole goal really has been from the get-go is just sort of infuse art into the community of St. Albans, and I think we've done a really good job of
basically that. That's your mission, infuse art into the community of St. Albans and beyond. If you want to come and enjoy it, the physical location, how do you say it? I mean, you just call it the Old Main.
65 Old Main is the actual address, yeah. But Old Main Plaza, Old Main Street, get you there.
Kind of the hub of the old St. Albans. We're going to talk about some events that you're having on Old Main a little bit later. If you want to get in touch with the Alban Arts Center, you want to get in touch with Adam, 304-721-8896. What's the website?
AlbanArtsCenter.com.
AlbanArtsCenter.com, 721-8896. Funding is a big deal with the arts. I see you up at the arts at the legislative session every year. I'm sure you're up there trying to keep funding coming. But how is the Alban Arts Center funded? You're funded with tickets, I'm sure, some sponsorships, but do you get some funds from the National Endowment on the Arts, the West Virginia Commission on the Arts? How do you get your funds, Adam?
We get a little bit of grant money from the West Virginia Commission on the Arts every year, which basically that grant helps pay for our directors and our technical directors, our music directors, et cetera, for the shows we produce. But that is really the only money we get on a regular basis from that organization, from those groups. Most of our funding really comes from donations from people like you, as well as our big income is from ticket sales.
The door and
registrations for classes and stuff like that. That's how we live. We make it by on those incomes.
And you have a skeleton crew. It's you and maybe you?
It's me and Marley. I have two employees now. Well, not me and Marley Carter are the only people over there on a daily basis.
That actually gets a little paycheck from the Alban Arts Center way.
We technically work for the city of St. Albans, actually.
Okay. So that's how that works. Is the Alban Arts Center, is it a St. Albans city extension or no?
Yes and no. There is a nonprofit that manages the building, and then they sort of work with the city to employ me and Marley Carter through the we are the arts and humanities department for
the
city.
How does the relationship work? Is it good with Mayor James and the folks at the city? They love what you're doing. They appreciate what you do. They support you. What do you need? They take your calls. Hey, what's going on?
Absolutely.
You work hand in glove.
Absolutely.
With them, right?
Me and Scott have really hit it off.
He's a good egg.
He's a good guy, and he really understands the importance of what we're doing and how important that is to the community at large, and that, that art really is something that, that grows and bolsters the community. And you know, it's not just something for fun. It's really helping.
I'm going to make a public plea here to producer Chris. Producer Chris, let's get Mayor Scott James on My Town, Your Town one of these days. He gave us a thumbs up. I think that'd be a good show topic to get him on. I love working with him. Known him a long time, doing a great job in St. Albans. St. Albans is doing a great job. You're right in the hub of St. Albans blowing up, right?
I mean, oh, yeah.
There's a lot of good stuff happening in the St. Albans community. 25177 is just, I think, really the place to be anymore. I mean, it's just so much fun with the events you're doing, and you just, and the Cold River Group is doing great, and the flat, what do you call it, the flat water capital of the world. I mean, we're, yeah, we got a lot of things happening here.
Yeah, we'll, oh, yeah, absolutely.
We'll talk about the Yak Fest here shortly. We got a few more minutes here, about 10 more minutes with Adam Bryan. He is the director of the Albany Arts Center. We know where it is, 65 Old Main, the Old Main Plaza. We know how he's funded. You've had a lot of, wow. You, I mean, you do 4, 5, 6 productions a year. What's the latest one happening this weekend? Where, you know, this show's running, you know, Friday morning. What's happening this weekend at the Albany Arts Center? The Children of Eden?
Children of Eden, okay. Yes.
Talk about that.
It's a great show that is based on the book of Genesis.
Okay.
So Act 1 is all about Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel, and Act 2 is all about Noah and the flood. It's the music is written by the guy that wrote Wicked before.
Oh,
he,
yeah,
wrote,
right,
Wicked.
Pretty
so
cool.
It's really good music, really good show. We at the Albany try to offer a little something for everyone in, mm-hmm, our theatrical season. And this show is that show that we're trying to reach out to the churches and that community and give them a show that they can come and enjoy and appreciate. And we've had great audiences first weekend, and I think, mm-hmm, weekend two is going to be even bigger.
Showtimes, dates, and the days. You know, this show is airing here Friday, Friday morning. Would that be, that'll be the 20 something? What is
this? 28th, right?
Today's, yeah, the 28th. So today's April 28th. So you playing tonight, Friday night, April 28th.
Tonight at 7:30. Tomorrow, the 29th at 7:30, okay. And then Sunday at 2:00.
And is it next weekend as well? Or is this the final weekend?
This is closing weekend.
This, yep, is closing weekend. So get there tonight or Saturday or Sunday. Tickets are how much for folks to come by?
Tickets are $12 for seniors and children 12 and under, and $17 for adults. If you get them online, just, I'll explain this to everybody while I'm here.
Okay.
If you get them online, they're actually listed at $10 and $15, okay, but that's because there's some, everything has a fee nowadays, especially with credit card stuff.
I understand.
So at the door, it will be $12 and $17. You'll save a little bit of money if you, mm-hmm, order them online ahead of time. We're talking a few pennies here and there, but every penny counts, right?
The Albany Arts Center is kind of providing a niche for this community in the arts. It's a quaint theater. Oh, I say quaint. What's the number of folks that you can sit people in there to enjoy a production, a concert, a show at the Albany Arts Center?
We seat about 210.
Is it that many?
It's that, okay, many, yeah. But we actually usually, okay, the first row or two on the gotta sides, use, we don't usually sell. So I usually 200 is about what
that's,
I list.
That's
at
a good little theater.
Yeah, it's a nice little intimate space.
You've had some sellouts. Quite
we
a few.
Have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But rest his soul, Ed Asner was here a couple, mm, years ago. He was here a couple
great
different
guy
times. You really,
yep,
got to meet him. You really got to be with him. What was the name of his show?
God Help Us.
Yeah, God Help,
yeah,
Us. And he was
show.
And he was funny. Funny old,
oh,
man.
He was a great guy.
Just a classic, gruff, just a fun dude to be around.
Yeah, what a joy to be on stage, yeah, with such a legend to begin,
yeah,
with. But
yeah,
really, my favorite time spending with him was off stage,
yeah,
you know, in rehearsal. Such a quick, witty guy. Some of the stuff he said to the director, you know, just
so
real
right
quick
there
and witty. It was
not
great.
Not stage,
yeah, great,
not rehearsed.
Yeah,
just,
yeah.
But just
great.
That
guy.
Quick wit is,
yeah,
fun. We rest his soul. Hey, I went before we get off the air here. The name of this radio show is My Town, Your Town, and we're talking about all things good in your town. You're wearing your shirt, Our Town. Yeah. Did you wear that for us today?
I wore this just for you, Jim. Yes.
I love you so much. talk about that show, Our Town.
This is a show I did.
How many years ago was that?
Just last year, actually.
It was last year,
just,
okay,
last year. That was the show I directed for the Albany last year. And I made, we're talking about all this stuff in St. Albans. The show is set in New England, but I made the set. The set is supposed to be like a blank stage, but I made all the background stuff buildings in St. Albans. It was sort of my homage to this town, because our town could be any town. And so this is the shirt we made for it. All the buildings on this street you'll recognize, on this shirt, I mean, are buildings you'll recognize in this town. You can still buy them at the Albans when you come see a show. I'll happily sell you an Our Town shirt.
A little merch plug right there. Tons of stuff to buy. We're talking with Adam, the Albans Arts Center director. Old Main Plaza show this weekend, tonight, Saturday and Sunday, Children of Eden. And what's on the horizon for the rest of the arts year 2023? What's it look like for you this summer and into the fall, into the Christmas season?
Well, we've got Bus Town is the next show we're working on. We just had auditions for that last weekend. Cast list will be out probably by the time this show airs. And then we are going to be doing some Shakespeare this summer with Taming of the Shrew. Then I'll be directing Mary Poppins Jr. in September. And then we're going to do Clue, which everyone is super excited about in November.
Where do your actors, actresses, where does the cast, you said auditions, do they come locally? Do you look for people and go, hey, I think you'd be great for this role? How do you get people to play in your productions?
I mean, a little bit of all of that. All the talent comes from this area. Okay. Now, we've had actors come from as far away as, like, Ironton, Ohio, and they drive all the way to St. Albans to be in a show that we're doing. We've actually had some people from Beckley and the other direction come up and audition and be in a show. But most of them are from the Charleston, St. Albans, Taze Valley, you know, that general area for the most part. But we've worked with a lot of actors by this point. I've been 14 years in, and we know a lot of the actors from the other other theater companies. Mm-hmm. So if there's a role for something that we would like to see somebody come out and audition for, I'll definitely. I've asked you before to come and be a show, and producer Chris has asked to be in a show too.
You know my criteria, Adam. I'm fairly busy. I think you know this. I want to make it public. I want a quick and easy, dirty physical comedy cameo.
I'm working on it. I haven't got the show
yet. Physical comedy cameo.
You're first on
I just
want to
make an appearance. I want to fall down, get up, limp off the stage, and make a laugh, and then I'm out.
We need to do, you know, that's one of my first roles in high school. This just came to me.
Yeah, right.
We need to do the how to succeed at business without really trying. And there's a little role.
That Mr. could be me, too.
Mr. Ovington was his name. Yeah. I played him in high school, and he came out. Did two little tiny scenes, got hired in like act in scene 7 and fired in scene 12 or something like that. Nothing in between. That's all I did. And I fell. It was fun.
Because I told you and told you and told you, I can't make rehearsals every night. I can't learn a boatload of lines. I don't have the physical time to do that. But I love the stage. I love the theater. I love to be a part of it. I actually danced in the ballet in October. I was a dancing vampire because I had a cameo.
I remember. Yeah.
I had a cameo. So I do like the stage, and I have a stage presence. I just don't have the time to commit to, you know, some of these actors. I mean, that's hard to memorize all the lines, and you got to rehearse for months to pull
people
this
don't realize
off.
How much time goes into that.
I said I can't do that.
Yep.
So there is a lot behind the scenes to get ready.
Each rehearsal process is at least almost 2 months. Sometimes it goes up to 2.5-3 months long. Mm. And they're rehearsing, depending on the show, 2 to 3 nights a week, probably minimum. And then sometimes it gets up to 4 or 5 nights a week. It's a lot of work.
This weekend show, Children of Eden, is there actually children in the cast, or do you have both adults and children?
Both adults and children. It's a pretty evenly mixed cast, actually.
How is it working with children and animals and seniors and all points in between? Do you have a favorite? Do you have you handle everybody a little bit different as a producer? Is it, or do you handle each actor as an individual with their hot buttons? I mean, you just got to play the whole gamut, don't you?
I think as a director, you've got to know each personality a little bit,
and
strengths and weaknesses, and how each of them tick. Some actors like you coming at them hard and being a little rough and telling them what being straightforward, and others like it a little candy coated and, you know, a little softer.
Yeah, I need stroke, by the way. I need stroke. Jim, that was great. That was great, Jim. Here's how to do it. That was great, but do it like this next time.
Exactly.
I need stroke. Yeah, just so you know.
I had a feeling that might be
when I'm in your show. My wife's like, good God, you need stroke every day. I go, yeah, honey, I do. I need stroke. Chris, tell me I'm doing a good job on the show. I need it. Okay. Gave me the
Chris
thumbs
has
up.
Worked with me before. He knows that's, you probably don't want to do a show with me, Jim. him. That's not
yeah,
me.
I see. My
directing style is I usually tell everybody.
I have a feeling you're different off the stage than you are.
Yeah, my job is not to, tell you how great you are. My job is to tell you what you're doing wrong and how to fix it.
I knew that was coming. That's why I want a small role, by the way, that I can't yak up. Hey, I have another talking point here written down. I remember meeting her when you probably met her at the same time. She was a young aspiring Annie years ago, a local girl named Hannah Peterson.
Hannah Peterson's great, yeah.
And we met her probably 2009-10, right as you were getting here. I knew her mama really, really well. I knew her mama before I knew Hannah. And talk about Hannah's journey and how well she's doing. And you always claim her like Jen Garner, from Charleston. She claims the Light Opera Guild over there. You've got Hannah Peterson. Talk about her journey.
Yeah, well, Hannah, I forget how old she was. I want to say 8 or 9. Yeah. First show she ever auditioned for was Annie, which was the first.
Okay.
Which was the first. It was the first show she ever auditioned for. At least she ever. It has to be the first show she ever auditioned for. I don't want to say the first show she ever got into, because if she ever auditioned for anybody, she would have gotten into the show. But it was 2010. She had never been in a play, and it was the first play I was directing and producing here at the Alban in St. Albans. And she came and auditioned. As soon as she walked in, I knew it was obvious that she was my Annie. A great, great talent. And now, all 14 years later, she's doing her own cabarets in New York.
She
comes
here
and
occasionally. She's been down to your place a few times. She comes into Charleston. She's been up at on Capitol Street, I believe, or Summer Street. But yeah, Hannah Peterson making a big name. She'll always have her start at the Alban Arts Center. We got about a minute left, Adam. I told you I'd give you an opportunity. Lots of things happening in St. Albans. You have a big role. You play a big role in the Yak Fest. Talk about the Yak Fest, its growth, when it is this year, and what you can tell us about the Yak Fest.
Sure. Yak Fest is June 16th and June 17th of this year. It's going to be another great big event. We've done a lot of great things with the Yak Fest. I'm in charge of booking all the music and entertainment.
Anybody can drop right now? Anybody?
Yeah, I can. Davison Brothers are coming back on Saturday night.
My boys.
Bucky Covington's going to open up for
them. I've introduced him before.
And on Friday, I'm real excited. Hannah Dasher is our headliner.
Great.
And Craig Gerds out of Nashville is coming to open up for her as well on Friday.
And there you go. You heard it first on My Town, Your Town, with Adam, who's wearing Our Town t-shirt. Adam is our director of the Alban Arts Center. Adam, I appreciate you stopping by.
Pleasure as always, Jim.
No, hey, go see the Children of Eden this weekend, the Alban Arts Center. Give them a call always at 304-721-8896. You can also find them on the web. That is all the time we have for on this edition of My Town, Your Town. Boy, that was a fast hour. We'll see you and listen to you and hear you, and you'll hear me next Friday. In the meantime, have a great weekend and a great week. We'll see you next time on My Town, Your Town, and I am Jim Strong.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. Your eyes did not deceive you. It certainly looked like a cheat sheet he was holding. Nonetheless, the White House denies that President Biden was tipped off ahead of time about a reporter's question at a White House news conference.
A photo of the president at Wednesday's press conference shows him holding a note card titled Question 1, along with the name and photo of a Los Angeles Times reporter, as well as an expected question. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
We do not have specific questions in advance. That's not something that we do.
She says one task of the press office is to brief and prepare the president for possible questions. The LA Times says it did not provide the White House with a question in advance. Greg Clugston, Washington.
The two military helicopters were returning from a training mission when they collided and crashed in Alaska. Three soldiers killed, one injured, the military launching an investigation. Not only are they trying to get a handle on out-of-control federal spending, now House Republicans are trying to stem the tide of illegal aliens and deadly drugs flowing into the country across the southern border.
Judiciary Committee, Homeland Security Committee, the Foreign Affairs Committee all have taken action now over the last few weeks to put together what I would call the strongest border security package that Congress has ever taken up.
And House Majority Leader Steve Scalise says lawmakers in the Republican-led House will vote on that package next month. Ron DeSantis is shrugging off a lawsuit filed by Disney. Florida's Republican governor says that Disney is simply upset because now it will have to live by the same rules as everybody else in his state. Watching Wall Street, the Dow is up 53 points, while the NASDAQ is down 24, the S&P trading 4 points higher.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Russia has targeted the Ukrainian capital with more than 20 cruise missiles and a couple of drones, and there are fatalities. There's also been a strike on a residential building in central Ukraine.
Air raid sirens sounded around the capital in the first attack against the city in nearly 2 months. The Kyiv city administration saying the Air Force had intercepted a volley of cruise missiles and two unmanned aerial vehicles over the capital. There were no immediate reports of any missiles hitting targets in Kyiv, but in Uman, 134 miles south of the capital, Ukrainian National Police say two cruise missiles hit a nine-story residential building, killing a number of people and wounding many more. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Europe's economy grew by a meager 0.1% in the first 3 months of the year. This as challenges persist from inflation that erodes people's buying power. News and analysis, townhall.com. Series of derailments recently drawing increased attention to railroad safety.
Federal regulators stopped short of telling railroad companies they should limit the length of their trains, but they do suggest precautions. Freight rail companies are increasingly relying on longer trains to help them move cargo with fewer crews. But the Federal Rail Administration says three recent derailments involved trains that were longer than 12,000 feet and says the size was a factor. Six states are looking at limits for the length of trains, citing not only safety, but also the amount of time drivers and emergency responders are delayed at rail crossings. I'm Jackie Quinn.
A railroad conductor north of New York City rescued a three-year-old boy who had wandered onto the tracks near the electrified third rail. Marcus Higgins scooped up the child, who was unharmed. More on these stories at townhall.com.
100,000 West Virginia jobs are at risk, thanks to Senator Joe Manchin falling in line with Washington, D.C. liberals Chuck Schumer and Elizabeth Warren to pass President Joe Biden's Inflation Reduction Act. But Biden and Manchin's IRA will supercharge the U.S. moving away from fossil fuels. With the Biden-Manchin law, President Biden made an all-out commitment to destroy the fossil fuel industry.
I guarantee you, we're going to end fossil fuel.
And with Joe Manchin's help, it could cost West Virginia at least 100,000 jobs. Sign the petition at wvpetition.com. Tell Senator Manchin to fight for West Virginia jobs and stop backing President Joe Biden's ultra-liberal climate policy.
I guarantee you, we're going to end fossil fuel.
Paid for by One Nation. www.onenationamerica.org.
America, your children have an amazing superpower. They can help save lives by not having playdates. That's right. By replacing get-togethers with virtual playdates and video chats, they can help slow the evil spread of germs. And if your superheroes do go outside, make sure they continue their superhero wing by staying 6 feet away from others to protect everyone in America land. Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
Portions of the following program may contain pre-recorded material.
This is your source for breaking news
and what to make of it all.
This is the Mike Gallagher Show.
She is in such an unusual position. She's a woman. She's black. She's Asian. And she's running alongside the oldest person to ever do it. So she's essentially running for president. That's what she's doing.
I will be retiring the name Crooked from Hillary Clinton so that we can use the name for Joe Biden, because he'll be known from now on as Crooked Joe Biden.
And now, in the ReliefFactor.com studios, sitting in for Mike today, here's Kevin McCullough.
Well, thank you.